1. Feet, 1783 to 1810. Not long after they heard the first clink of iron, the boys and girls in the cornfield would have been able to smell the grown-ups' bodies, perhaps even before they saw the double line coming around the bend. Hurrying in locked step, the 30-odd men came down the dirt road like a giant machine. Each hauled 20 pounds of iron, chains that draped from neck to neck and wrist to wrist, binding them all together. Ragged strips flapped stiffly from their clothes like dead air pennants. On the men's heads, hair stood out in growing dreads or lay in dust-caked mats. As they moved, some looked down like catatonics. Others stared at something 1,000 yards ahead. And now, behind the clanking men, followed a marching crowd of women loosely roped, the same vacancy painted in their expressions, endurance standing out in the rigid strings of muscle that had replaced their calves in the weeks since they left Maryland. Behind them all swayed a white man on a gray walking horse. The boys and girls stood, holding their hoe handles, forgetful of their task. In 1805, slave coffles were not new along the South Road through Rowan County, here in the North Carolina Piedmont, but they didn't pass by every day. Perhaps one of the girls close to the road, a 12-year-old Willow, stared at the lone man who, glistening with sweat and fixed of jaw, set the pace at the head of the double file. Perhaps he reminded her of her father, in her memory tall. A few years back, he'd stopped coming to spend his Saturday nights with them. The girl's mother said he'd been sold to Georgia. Now, in the breath of a moment, this man caught her staring eyes with his own scan as he hurried past. And perhaps, though he never broke stride, something like recognition flashed over a face, iron as his locked collar. This man, Charles Ball, a 25-year-old father of two, could not help but see his own daughter 10 years hence, years he knew she'd pass without him. Then he was gone down the road, pulling the rest of the human millipede past the girl. As the women's bare soles receded, the white man on the horse following last, looking down, appraising her, the overseer on the far side of the field called out, "Hey!" to her stock-still self, and she would surely have realized that the coffle carried her own future with them. There are 1,760 yards in a mile, more than 2,000 steps. 40,000 is a long day's journey. 200,000 is a hard week. For 80 years, from the 1780s until 1865, enslaved migrants walked for miles, days, and weeks. Driven south and west over flatlands and mountains, step after step, they went farther from home. Stumbling with fatigue, staggering with whiskey, even sometimes stepping high on bright spring mornings when they refused to think of what weighed them down, many covered over 700 miles before stepping off the road their footsteps made. 700 miles is 1.5 million steps. After weeks of wading rivers, crossing state lines, and climbing mountain roads, and even boarding boats and ships and then disembarking, they had moved their bodies across the frontier between the old slavery and the new. Over the course of 80 years, almost 1 million people were herded down the road into the new slavery. This chapter is about how these forced marches began, as they walked those roads, to change things about the eastern and western United States, like shifting grains moved from one side of a balance to another. It shows how the first forced migrations began to tramp down paths along which another 1 million walkers, 1.5 trillion steps, would shape 7 decades of slavery's expansion in the new United States. And it shows how the paths they made on the land, in politics, and in the economy, the footprints that driven slaves and those who drove them left on the fundamental documents and bargains of the nation, kept the nation united and growing. For at the end of the American Revolution, the victorious leaders of the newly independent nation were not sure that they could hold their precarious coalition of states together. The United States claimed vast territories west of the Appalachian Mountains, but those lands were a source of vulnerability. Other nations claimed them,